Thank you, ladies. I'm glad that we were able to get that worked out a little bit so you could hear all three parts. So you see, we serve a triune God. Amen. We need all three. Hallelujah. And we see that in creation. Did you know that he's clearly seen and understood by the things which are made? You go out in creation, all the trees are green, and green represents glory, and they point northward. We got, you know, the Bible says that God's from Tema, that's the north, and he's always been, and you can look at the clouds when the clouds roll in your life, and the book of, I believe, Amos, or it's Nahum, I always mix them up, it said that the clouds are the dust of God's feet. And so God wants us to be reminded that he's there all the time helping us. He's wanting us to be in, he wants us to enjoy our salvation. Now that's easier said than done, especially as independent Baptists. Say amen there. Sometimes as fundamentalists, we don't like to enjoy. We want to be upset, and that's just sometimes we're mad at somebody because somebody ain't doing it, you know, doing it like we want them to. And I pastored long enough, and when we come to the mountains, I thought, praise God, all these mountain preachers love each other. But what I found out is that not so much for the outsider. The outsiders, Pastor Barton said, some of these mountain guys, not all of them, but some were clannish. I said, what? They said they've got to know you. And then I was just educated the other week about secondary separation. I said, what is that? They said, well, if you go to your church and they don't like you, then they don't like you because you go to your church. I said, you got to be kidding me. Them people need to get right with God, don't they? Don't they? Yeah. They need to get a good dose of the Holy Ghost. Amen. They need to smile a little bit. And this message tonight, I hope it will smile. Put a smile on your face. I hope it'll encourage you. It's a different type of message. You know, in the book of Nehemiah, I'm not going to go there, but the latter part of this verse in Nehemiah 8:10, it says, neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your, anybody know what it ends with? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I think what's missing in a lot of our lives is we're not enjoying the work of God. We're not enjoying being a Christian. We're so concerned about following rules. Now, don't misunderstand me. I know that we're supposed to walk the line. We're supposed to walk in the Spirit. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit. I understand that. But we're trying to do for God. And God said it's already done. And we need to enjoy the blessings that he's given us. The peace that passeth all understanding. I'm thinking about that. The peace of God, because you're born again. Yeah. That heaven, hey, not only that we get to go to heaven, that he's, a lot of people want that mansion, and I believe John talks about he prepareth a mansion, but he's preparing a place for us. A lot bigger than a mansion, amen. But we don't have to wait to heaven in order to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I believe we can sit in heavenly places tonight. We can close our physical eyes, if you will, and just imagine him who's invisible. Just imagine the Holy Ghost of God, Jesus Christ, God the Father, trying to help us understand who he is and educating us tonight, not to be educated too high for crutches, but to know who he is and believe him for what he says. And so when we walk through this life completely, anytime I preach this type of message, I look at my kids and they're going to say, Dad, why don't you live what you preach? Amen. And sometimes, so I'm not going to look at them. Do you ever preach a message that you need, you know, that you for personally? Oh yeah, I got, this is for me. Well, have you ever got a recipe? I know this is a little shift, but this is what the message is. You ever got a recipe from somebody and you prepared it, and it's missing something? Grandma gave you a recipe and she lied to you. She didn't give you the whole thing. She forgot that garlic or salt or whatever. It needs a little bit of butter. I believe butter's better. Amen. The cardiologists don't like butter, but I like butter because it is better. I like garlic. I like salt. They don't like salt either, but praise God. Brother, if we have a heart attack right here and drop down, the EMS will come in here. First thing they're going to do is put an IV in us with saline. So I'm going to get a head jump and put some salt on my hamburger and french fries. Can I get a witness? Amen. Amen. Y'all have a Sonic around here or a Freddy's burger? That's just good. Anyway, I'm just making it. Anyway. You get a recipe and you get it. You try to cook it and something's missing. Maybe the last ingredient they didn't put in there is cheese. You see, if something don't taste good, you add garlic. And it still don't taste good, you add cheese. And if it don't taste good after that, you give it to the dog. Amen. It's just not going to be good. But something's missing. Sometimes it's just love, isn't it? Just, oh, you know, that's why mamas taste so good. My mom, who's still alive, she makes a pasta salad for us. And I've tried to make it. You don't know this, but my background is culinary. I went to culinary school. I was a chef. And so I've tried to make that and duplicate it. And I just can't get it right. Because grandma does it. Just that love that's there. In our life as a Christian, there are times we feel like there's something missing. So what is it? You're reading your Bible. Everybody, amen. Reading your Bible, listening to it. You're praying. You're witnessing to your neighbors, your friends. You're worshiping. You're even shouting. Some of y'all might shout and you're scared a preacher half to death. Amen. If you clap, that'll really, woo, oh my goodness. How about cry? Weep. I'm talking about not crying because you stubbed your toe, but you're weeping over your sin and the sin of your family and people dying and go to hell. But hey, but what's missing? You're doing all that and what's missing? Well, I believe the Bible tells us, I just quoted the verse. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Then there's happiness. Happiness is a fleshly desire that is needed and Christians should express. Happiness is typically a fleshly side, where joy is the spiritual side. It's that joy of the Lord is a fruit of the Spirit after love. Happiness is manufactured by being the flesh being pleased, but we know the apostle Paul said this in Acts 26:2, I think myself happy, King Agrippa. You see, Paul in his flesh was thinking about how good God's been to him, even though he was in prison and was going to head on that ship and get shipwrecked. You know, Paul in his mind was going back to places where God been so good to him in the flesh, where he had something to eat every night. How many of y'all say amen to that? Hey, you had lunch. You're going to go home, eat some dinner. You drank your Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, Diet Mountain Dew, or whatever you drink around here, and sweet tea. You say hallelujah. Hey, that makes you happy. Happy, don't it? Some of y'all need to know what happiness is. This message is just right tonight. But we all need to learn how to bring the flesh into the state of happiness. And we do that through the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that creates joy, but not before the fruit of love is manifested. So we have love, joy, peace. So the fruit of love, we've got to love. Got to love our Savior. And it's easy to say, I love Jesus, but come on. How do you love Jesus? And I'm being serious here. How do we love Jesus? By not talking to him? By spending 30 seconds with him? By not trying to figure him out or what his words are saying? A lot of times talk is cheap. And I've witnessed this as a pastor for years, counseling people. And I told a couple this morning, marriage or love is blind, but marriage is a real eye-opener. Amen? Don't you let your wife see you do that. Amen. One of my counseling techniques is if you're courting, anybody here courting, you're engaged to get married. One of my counseling techniques is you write down 10 things you can't stand about your fiance. And if you can't write down 10 things now, you don't need to get married, because when you get married, you're going to find 10 things real quick. Amen. So go ahead and prepare. That's supposed to make you laugh. Amen. But it's true. It is true. Walking in the Spirit by yielding to the Spirit produces real love and then joy, and joy allows the flesh to be happy. When you're really loving God and you're loving people, you're loving sinners, you're loving the work of God, you're loving the long sermons, and you're loving the problems in the soundboard, you're loving just the humidity. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Allows the flesh to enjoy things that you wouldn't normally enjoy. Have you ever gotten into a critical spirit? Just everything don't matter how good God is. You just rah, 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 rah. Now I am talking to Baptists. Somebody elbow somebody else. Amen. It ain't you. It's them. Now it's not things of necessarily the bad things in life is not lust, but things that God has made for us to enjoy. We're not trying to create joy and lusting after things. No. God made us for his pleasure. You know, the Bible says that he made us for his pleasure. He wants to have pleasure in us. I think sometimes God's just messing with me. Everything that God just messing with me. You know, you never heard that. God's, let me put it more spiritual. He's He's not tempting me to sin, but he's training me. He's put me through trials. God, why would you do that? I'll give you, for instance, when we first said, yes, Lord, we're going in evangelism. We had the bus and we had a van that had 300,000 miles on it. And I'm telling you, the first church, second church we were at, the bus broke down. And then on the way, we had to get a mobile mechanic to the bus and he came. Can I tell you, those mobile mechanics, they make good money. And then we were taking it to the mechanic's place so he could work on it. And in that van, just got tires on it 3 or 4 months before, and a highway 40, Interstate 40. Leslie said, I think you got a flat tire. She pulled over and I ran back to her and I started laughing because it wasn't a flat tire. And the tire was gone. It pumped, come off the whole van. And I just started laughing. I said, dear God, what are you doing? This is the only way we can get places. The bus has broke down. Now the van, I tore up the back end. Not totally, but it messed up. We want it our way. And when it don't go our way, we get mad. But God's just, you know what God was testing me with? He told me, not audibly, but he told me he's got me. And so in order for you to experience a miracle, you need a miracle. You know what I'm going to say? You need some type of experience to require a miracle. It was going to be a miracle to get that van off of Highway 40. I mean, matter of fact, we left it there. Keely got in her car and drove like, I don't know, an hour and a half to come get us. So I just locked it up, left it there. And then the tow truck guy called me at 2 o'clock in the morning. It was a miracle. It happened to, he said, brother, I'm not going to try to tell you where to go, but my brother can fix this van. And I said, just do it. Hey, how about that? God sent me a tow truck guy. They fixed it all right up. Everything was fine. Went to the church, I think it was our church before. It was before our last service. The last service. Now listen to this. We're going out full time. We don't have any support at the time. But maybe one church was giving us a little bit a month. And a guy gave me a check. And I opened the check. And usually when you get a check from people, it's like $100. I'm grateful for that. But it'd been good. It'd been $500, right? How many of y'all smile? Yeah, well, it was 10,000. Can I say amen there? All I can say is hallelujah. I've been around this guy from Mississippi. He said, hallelujah, y'all. Amen. Hey, it was exciting to see God do a great miracle. But God takes pleasure in us taking pleasure in him. So what is missing in our life that if properly practiced can change our life? I think it's a merry heart. I think it's laughter. Laughing is an essential ingredient to the Christian life that many rarely apply enough. Mark Twain, and who I quote isn't necessarily spiritual, he just said something good. You can learn from everybody, amen? Even me, praise God. You can, and I'm Polish, or at least half. I'm a Polak. I'm half Polish, redneck. Mark Twain said the human race has only one really effective weapon, and that is laughter. Another guy said, at the height of laughter, the universe is flung into a kaleidoscope of new possibilities. You just laugh your problems away, amen? Hey, crying ain't going to work too good all the time. You got to learn to laugh. Laughter is a major byproduct of spiritual joy. In Ecclesiastes 3:4, I'm going to back it up with Bible, by the way. Ecclesiastes 3:4, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Now, you may not want to do all that at a funeral and say amen, but I don't think they take it kindly, you dancing on in front of the casket. But I don't know. Maybe it was an old drunkard that got saved and then he died. And you just dance like that and say, hallelujah, glory. I don't know. Luke 6:21, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are they that weep now, for ye shall laugh. How about that? The average child laughs 150 times a day, say researchers of University of Michigan. And the average adult laughs only 15 times a day. Oh my, get on a bus, you won't laugh anymore. We understand that our spirit may have joy, but our flesh needs a merry heart. It needs laughing. It needs to have some merriness in it. Laughing is an exercise of the flesh that can develop spiritual muscles. Daily laughter has been shown to elevate our moods, promote creativity, and give us more energy. I'm telling you, I like it when you get into church that don't mind laughing a little bit. And I'm telling you, when we learn to laugh, you've got to learn to laugh with others and not at them. This is how, and that's easy to laugh at some people. When I was younger, I used to, back when the malls were popular, did y'all ever have a mall around here? We go to the mall. Well, Leslie do the shopping. I'd sit on the benches, you know, like an old man and laugh at people. And y'all thought about that too. You never saw, y'all have a Walmart around here? You ever been to Walmart at night? You can't help but laugh at them, but you ain't supposed to, right? They're wearing their pajamas at night. What's wrong with them? I don't understand. Somebody help them pull their britches up. Somebody get some blousy things on them women wearing them tight britches. Amen. But when we learn to laugh, now this is, I'm trying to be serious, but I'm trying to help you laugh a little bit. Hey, it's going to, when you laugh more, your digestion, some of y'all need, amen, your digestion works a little bit better. But we need to learn to laugh with others. And y'all just got that, didn't you? Yeah, some of y'all laughing now. Not at them. We must learn to laugh about the issues and about the problems, because getting mad and throwing a lawnmower across the driveway because it don't start ain't going to help. Amen. I'm going to tell you what God has tested me many a time. Little things, just the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's just the little things. And I've got to learn just to laugh at them. That's why I looked at that tire gone. I mean, just got brand new tires and all six lug nuts broke off. So if y'all are in North Carolina Highway 40 and you find a tire with a nice rim on it, it's mine. It's got good tread. Give it back. Amen. Three things. We must learn to laugh with others, not at them. We must learn to laugh about issues and the problems. And then we also must learn to laugh at ourselves. Man, I've met some puckered up people, dear God, and sometimes the worst puckered up people are men of God. They're so puckered up, and I know life's hard at times, but that's why we need to learn to laugh. Some people are afraid to laugh in church. Everybody's supposed to be holy, dignified, but I'm telling you, God created me, He created you, and I look at you and I want to laugh, say amen. Right? You might look at me and say, great day. You laugh. Laugh at yourself. I know I'm fat. I know I'm balding. My breath probably stinks too. But I grew a beard. That helps a little bit, preacher. You can help. You know, that helps. My wife said, don't shave it. I wonder why. Because it covers up the ugly. Laugh at yourself. Ain't nobody going to put me in a museum other than the horror museum. But happy is the person who can laugh at himself. He will never cease to be amused. We must learn to always find a reason to laugh. It may not add years to your life, but it will add life to your years. Some of y'all need to laugh even tonight. The laughing, this laughing shouldn't be produced by foolishness of the flesh. Proverbs 24:9 is clear. It says the thought of foolishness is sin and the scorner is an abomination to men. But it comes with, after walking with God, being filled with the Spirit, seeing life through God's eyes. Have you not been going through a tough spot and you reacted so poorly to it? But then when it comes to the end, at the end, you can just sit back and laugh a little bit because you said God had it all the time. God worked all things together for my good and His glory. Boy, you just laugh at yourself and say, I can't believe that I acted that way. I can't believe that I showed myself foolish. I can't believe it. Thank God I can laugh at it now. It's true that sometimes the flesh wants to laugh, and it's wrong. We know in the scriptures, the Bible talks about Sarah laughing to scorn folks, laughing at others' calamity. Sarah laughed in denial in Genesis 18:13. And the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I'm old? She shouldn't have laughed, should she? But we can understand it. She was an older lady. She had been through the change of life. But hey, with God, things, all things are possible. Amen. Leslie, you want another young? Never mind. I ain't to praise God. I don't want another young. I don't want. Yeah, we got dogs. But she laughed in doubt. Or some laughed in doubt. Luke 8:52. And all wept and bewailed her. But she said, weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And God raised the dead. They laughed at him in the wrong place. A missing key ingredient of life is a merry, joyful spirit producing laughter. Don't you like being around happy people? Joyous people. People that laugh with somebody and not at them. People that laugh at the problems. Ha, ha, ha. That ain't going to be no big deal. My God's bigger than that. And then it's just people laughing at themselves. Boy, ain't I silly doing that. I shouldn't have got mad or just laughed. See, correct laughter creates a positive environment. It changes the vibes in the room. I can tell a little bit of change right now. It helps calm the sad. It helps the serious that are in the room, the miserable situations. I'm telling you, laughter is an instant vacation. A good laugh heals a lot of hurts. I've been around people that with EMS, and they say when somebody's been tragic, something tragically has happened to them or to their family, to try to prevent shock and pain in their mind, and then just going into to PTSD and all that, they try to get them to reminisce about happy things and try to get them to laugh, to get their mind off. So, friends, some of y'all might need to think about some happy places right now. I'm telling you, you ain't going to fly like Tinkerbell and Peter Pan, but you'll get out of this place, amen. Amen. I thought that was funny. Amen. Laughter is not just an action of the jaw muscles, but of the mind. We can even laugh in silence. This laughter can be mostly fitting and satisfying in the form of a merry heart. But you don't have to go, but you can just laugh inside. The mouth muscles, or the mouth smiles, and the mind is flooded with endorphins, and joy fills the soul. The endorphins are a real thing. That's why some of y'all, you carry candy in your pocket and you pop that candy in your pocket and you go, Don't you love that? We stopped at Dollar General. Y'all have a lot of those around here too. And my wife went inside to get some Diet Mountain Dew. That makes her happy. Amen. But she brought out a little extra ingredient. Well, first of all, she got a grocery cart to go in Dollar General. I thought, oh, dear God, what is she doing? But she just came out with that Diet Mountain Dew and peanut M&Ms. I ain't talking about a single serving, that big old bag of peanut M&Ms. I thought, Leslie, look about your eyes. You don't need those. But before I knew it, I was handfuls on purpose. Amen. I was shocked, and it was making me happy. Amen. I feel a little pretty good right now. The ability to laugh aloud or silently at moments of ultimate crisis is an expression of God's word controlling us in godliness. Studies have proven that a good laugh is equivalent to an hour of exercise. I know what you're saying, preacher. You haven't been exercising much. I haven't been laughing much. Amen. Do you know merry-hearted people? Do you know people that are merry-hearted? You just think about that person. Boy, they crack me up. They're so fun to be around. Hey, y'all just think about that person in your life. You like to be around them. Why is that? Because they attract you, because you want to laugh too. Now, three things and we'll be done. I promise. Just a few minutes. I won't labor the points. But how do you know if you're laughing enough? Well, if you're going to laugh enough, biblically, it'll keep you from your medicine cabinet. Now, I'm not getting all up in what the doctors are prescribing you, although in some churches, doctors are prescribing way more than they need to. You just need to laugh. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth of the bones. A lot of the medicines they prescribe today, I understand they wanted to prescribe me stuff, but when I was discouraged, depressed, anxiety, the heart, all that kind of stuff, hey, I don't need that. I just need to laugh a little bit. I need to laugh at my circumstance, laugh at myself, and laugh with others and not at them. Merry heart does include happiness, joyfulness, amazed, and glee. Merry heart replaces medication, while negative environment can break the spirit, which creates a need for pills. They need something outside of God's realm. Now, I know this. People say, well, God made dope. It's not everybody's supposed to take all the dope. Real quiet, ain't it? Real quiet. Sorrow, pain, it stops us and makes us want to quit. Laugh often. It is the cheapest medicine, and there ain't no copay. Somebody say amen. Can you believe how expensive this medicine is? Some of y'all young people have no idea. When you get older, you're at that pharmacy all the time. Norman Cousins' true story tells of a being hospitalized with a rare crippling disease when he was diagnosed with as incurable. Mr. Cousins checked out of the hospital, aware of the harmful effects of negative emotions in the hospital can have on the body. Cousins reasoned within himself that a reverse emotions, reversing that would be true. So he borrowed a movie projector and prescribed his own treatment consisting of Marx Brothers films and an old candid camera reruns. You know how old this illustration is. In other words, he watched funny stuff. It didn't take long. This is a true story. It didn't take long for him to discover that 10 minutes of laughter provided 2 hours of pain-free sleep. Amazingly, his debilitating disease was eventually reversed. After the account of his victory appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine, Cousins received more than 3,000 letters from appreciative physicians throughout the world, asking what he was doing. Hey, friend, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. How do you know if you're laughing enough? It's keeping you from that medicine cabinet. You don't have to dope up every day. You don't need what the world says you got. You just go to God and you laugh a little bit. Being negative never helped, so why not laugh? I preach this in my kids. I've got 2-hour drive, and they're going to say, Dad, you don't stop laughing because you grow older. You grow old because you stop laughing. Laughter is like a wind. This is my favorite. Now get a hold of this. Y'all taking notes? Look at this one. Laughter is like windshield wipers on a rainy day. It don't stop the rain, but it keeps you going. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, laughing a little bit at yourself, at the circumstances and with others. Hey, it don't stop the pain. It don't stop the problem. It don't stop the issues of life, but it keeps you going. Hey, it puts things in perspective. It don't matter. Hey, if I go or if I stay, I'm a winner either way. Let's laugh a little bit. Let's enjoy this side of eternity. Amen. It dulls the hurt and puts problems in perspective. It's like a medicine. Number two, if you start laughing more, it prevents internal fractures. You ever heard people say, I'm all tore up inside? It makes you sick. You hear preachers that make mistakes and fall. You hear Christians. You hear the government. You hear AI. I won't even get into that. Many times we're broken on the inside. That hurts the worst. Did you know more kids and young people are committing suicide because they're broken on the inside? They need a laugh. They need Jesus. I'd rather break a leg. At least I know that'll heal. But when you're broke inside, it's miserable. I've been there. Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken on the inside. I mean, a broken spirit, who can bear? You know, we need to break the children's will, not their spirit. You wear that hind end out not to break their spirit, to break their will, so they don't want to do that no more. But even in our own life, we need to make sure that we understand laughing more, it prevents internal fractures. You got to put things in perspective. Hey, another day will come. Whether it's on this side or it's on the next side. I know everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. But just get in your head, everybody's going to go somewhere at some point. Go ahead and prepare yourself for the journey. Get your heart right with God. Get born again and laugh at the devil and say, you ain't going to take me to hell. I'm going to heaven. You're not going to break my heart no more. Our inside affects our outside. How we internalize life's issues, it does affect our countenance. How you look. Can I share something personal? Some months after my heart bypass, my wife so sweetly came to me and said, you need some help. You mad yet? And I'm like, well, what in the world? Because I was broken on the inside. And I just wanted to be alone. I couldn't understand it. What I found out later, I went to a holistic doctor, one that did all natural stuff. And he said, you're like in fight or flight motion. You're like your body's it hasn't rested. It's that internally. And you know what he prescribed me? He didn't prescribe me that dope, that words this long. He prescribed me natural vitamins, B vitamins, and magnesium. Amen. And now I'm perfect, right, Les? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. See, it helps her too, right? Our inside affects our outside. People who stop laughing are always the ones who get hurt. Chew on that a little bit. In Proverbs 18:14, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Laughter prevents eternal broken spirit. The missing key ingredient in a Christian's life is laughter. It's that joy. It's that merry heart. It's that happiness which all work to make our life better and not bitter. Life changes us inside out. But you can start working to laugh by smiling. There was a teacher that called out his student and said, "Freddie, you must stop laughing out loud in the schoolroom." And Freddie responded, "I didn't mean to do it. I was smiling and the smile busted." Amen. You know, I like being around happy people. It helps me. It has been observed that he who laughs lasts. When the hurt hits deep inside, that sorrow can be debilitating. Yet God has a solution. It's called laughing, a merry heart, a cheerful countenance. That old comedian Red Skelton of years ago said, "No matter how hurt your heart may be, laughter makes you forget the hurt just for a few moments." Isn't that so true? You know you're laughing enough because finally tonight, laughing turns famine into feast. Whew. When depression and sorrow is overwhelming, and it's real. Folks, if young people, if you haven't experienced, I hope you never do, but more than likely there will be times when you will have to face it. When it becomes overwhelming, our life is like a desert. We're stressed and fatigued, but if you look at this, that God wants to turn your desert and your stressed life into something better. You ever turn it around? You ever turn stressed around, and you know what it spells? Dessert. Somebody say amen. I don't know about you, but I'm one that likes the dessert. I'm ready for the final course of a meal. Hey, the salad might be all right, and the soup, and the steak and tater, but hey, what gets me to smiling a little more and a merry heart a little more was last night at, or night before last, whenever we had a restaurant, and they brought a birthday fudge and something. It made me happy. Amen. And it was her birthday. And it was free. Amen. Proverbs 15:15, here's the Bible. Turn famine into feast. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Whew. That merry heart. I'm going to just keep on eating. Amen. Amen. We must use Scripture to train the way we think. I deal with stinking thinking, do you? It's just stinking thing. Always thinking the negative, always being critical, always, you know, always finding the fault. Shh. I don't even look at my family. Dad, you should have preached this last week. We need to train. I'm just being real. I'm laughing at myself. I need help, don't you? You see, we use Scripture to train the way we think. We're still going to have problems. We're still going to have stressful times. But God wants us to look at it being stressed as a dessert. And it's not bad. You know what that stress is doing? It is compacting us. It is molding us and making us into His image. If we respond to it correctly, it's kind of like taking a test at your school. The end of year EOG test. Hey, if you pass the test, you don't like the test. You don't get everything right. But if you pass it, hey, you move on up to the next grade. Hallelujah. Laughing means we've looked beyond the hurt, we've looked beyond the pain, the famine, and see God's love feeding us with meat that you know not of. Psalms 126:1-2 and 3, you know what that says, don't you? When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Then the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing. You know what rejoicing is? Hey, you have a merry heart. You're gleeful. You're happy. Rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know what that sheave is? It ain't just one stalk. It's a big old barrel of a stalk. Glory to God. I ain't going to eat just one meal. I'm going to have a continual feast. God's turning my famine. He'll turn your famine into feast. When we can laugh, it changes famine into feast. Ecclesiastes 10:19, a feast is made for laughter, and wine, merry heart, maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Don't say it answereth the right thing, but anyway, that's another message. I conclude with some funny thoughts. And the reason why I do this, Abby rolls her eyes, the reason why I do this is that a terrible dad joke can outlive a good sermon. Amen? And I think you'll like these. Why can't dinosaurs clap with their hands? Because they're extinct. It's okay to laugh. I'm prescribing the medicine now in these next 2 minutes. What do mermaids use to wash their fins? Tide. Hey, amen. I was addicted to the hokey pokey, but I turned myself around. Yeah, man, I like it. Dumb dad jokes. How is my wallet like an onion? Every time I open it, I cry. Yeah, man. Yeah. I don't trust stairs. They're always up to something. I was going to try an all almond diet. I was going to try an all almond diet, but that's just nuts. I mean, that's just nuts. These are not gray hair. They're wisdom highlights. Somebody, amen, amen, sister, amen. One benefit of old age is your secrets are always safe with your friends because they can't remember them. Today at the bank, an old lady asked me to check her balance, so I pushed her over. And went to jail. No. Almost done. Stop thinking of them as hot flashes. Think of them as your inner child playing with matches. Amen. 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 Y'all, you men know what I'm talking about. Women too. Now, some of y'all understand this one. How is the moon like dentures? They both come out at night. Amen. Laughter has been said it is more than a defense mechanism. It is a means of adjusting to circumstances, a safety net against depression and hurt. You see, we often live in a land void of laughter. Why not take a vacation and feast on spiritual joy? So what's wrong with being funny? Isn't it better to be kept awake by a bit of humor than be put to sleep by continual seriousness? Laughter, a merry heart, turns poverty into plenty. It turns barrenness into bounty. It turns famine into feast. Laughter interrupts sadness and pain and sorrow. What all that's trying to do, a little humor, a little laughter, some laughter can help the medicine go down. And a spoonful of sugar too. Amen. Can you laugh? Can you laugh at yourself? Laugh with others and laugh at life's issues. It sure makes it easier to go through. And then I end with this. Life is short. Laugh while you still have teeth. Amen. Laugh while you still have teeth. I ask you if you please stand to your feet, close your eyes, bow your head. And let me just ask just a couple questions. I'll turn it over to Pastor.